Masechet Shabbat in memory of Marcel and Jack Shasho. Ruach Adonai Tanichim Began Eden. Amen.
Daf Kuf Nun Aleph. Today's daf has been dedicated anonymously in honor of Helfon Ben Regina Malka and Mazal Bat Esther. Hashem Aleihem Yichyu. Amen. Today's daf is being studied the Elul Nishmat Acham Baruch. Rafael ben Miriam and Avraham ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tanichem began Eden. Amen. We begin today on Kufnun Aleph Amud Rishon at the Mishnah. The first Mishnah. Machshichin al atchum nefakeach al eske kala v'al eske hamet la'avilo aron v'techrichin. So our Mishnah says that it's permissible on Shabbat to walk to the tchum, meaning to walk to the border of the city, meaning as far as the person is allowed to walk on Shabbat, in order to supervise over the needs of a kala, meaning right after Shabbat, you'll be able to walk right outside the city in order to take care of the needs. As we learned yesterday, according to the opinion of Abba Shaul, since a kala, her needs are a mitzvah, so he allows you to do things even though they might be forbidden on Shabbat. For example, according to Abba Shaul, it would be permissible to even go and cut hadassim on Motzei Shabbat. They used to make the canopies, the chuppot, they used to make out of hadassim. Now on Shabbat you can't cut hadassim. But the chiddush of the Mishnah is, at least according to Abba Shaul, they'd be able to go to the border with the intent to cut hadassim on Motzei Shabbat, because since it's tzorech mitzvah, so they did not put a restriction on walking to the border. For that matter, when it says al-eskeh hamet, even to go and cut the fabric in order to make the shrouds would be permissible according to Abba Shaul. La'avilu aron v'techrichim, and also to bring him, let's say, an aron, which would be the coffin. So comes the Mishnah and says, Nochri shevi halilin b'shabbat, lo yispod bahem Yisrael. The custom in the olden days was, at the funerals, they used to blow flutes. It seems the flute has a sad sound to it, so they would blow it. So now what happens, the goy came on Shabbat, and he brought a flute specifically for a funeral of a Jew. So the Mishnah says, lo yispod bahem Yisrael. The Jew is not allowed to use this at the eulogies. So that she says, for how long? So that she says, Nochri shevi halim isha b'shvil Yisrael, lo yispod behem Yisrael le'olam. So that she shita is that these flutes become forbidden forever. Why? V'kenasahu. It's a knas, it's a penalty. Mishum demucha milta, because it's evident, de b'shvilo hu be'u. It's clear that the goy brought it for the Jew. De'en derech le'avi halilin ela b'shvil met. You only bring the flute when there's a met, and it seems there was a Jewish met, and therefore if the goy brought it, it's clear he did it for the Jew, so that she shita is, if it's clear and evident that it was done for the Jew, so that, and meaning the goy brought it on Shabbat, so the hachami perknas, that you cannot use this flute le'olam forever. Tosfot over here has a machloket against Rashi, and he says that it doesn't mean it's asur forever, it's only asur the amount of time that it would take to bring another flute on Motzei Shabbat. That's a machloket, actually, Rashi v'Tosfot over here. In any event, the Mishnah says, Ela imken ba'u mimakom karov. Unless you know that the flute came from a close place. Meaning, if you know that it came from within the tomb, from within the borders where you'd be allowed to walk, so if the goy brought it within the tomb of the Shabbat, then already you can use it. Because technically, you would be able to bring it yourself. Which is, if there was an Eruv, and it was technically, let's say, in the area, that technically it would be Mukseh. But the point is that since it was in the tomb itself, it would be accessible, so Hachem did not make such a knas. Asulo aron v'hafru lo kever. Literally, if they made for him an aron, aron would be the coffin, v'hafru lo kever, or they dug for him a grave, Yekaber bo Yisrael. So a Jew can be buried in it. Now obviously this must be talking where the coffin and the grave was done for a goy. Since it was done for a goy, so now a Jew can be buried. Meaning on Shabbat they made the coffin and they dug the grave. So the Hadush of the Mishnah, since it was done for a goy, so now already a Jew can benefit because it wasn't done for him. However, if it was done for a Jew, lo yikaber bo olamit. So then already the Mishnah says that the Chachamim put a knas, they cannot bury a Jew in it forever. So now the Gemara comes to explain. And the Gemara says, my mimakom karov. So we explained the first part of the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, you can't use the flute unless it came from a close place. And we explained that means that it came from within the tomb of Shabbat. So the Gemara says we have a machloket actually over here. Rab amar mimakom karov mamash. Meaning, you have to know clearly where it came from. Meaning you have to know the house that it came from and that the house was in the tomb. You don't make assumptions here. According to that, it's karov mamash. You have to know clearly. Lashiz lashon is Rav Amar b'makom karov mamash kilomar shiyadua lanu birur hadavar. You know it clear demimakom karov bau shirainum shehayu bebeto. You saw clearly that they were in his house, and therefore it's evident. Shmuel is a little more lenient. Shmuel Amar Haishinan Sheme Chutz Lechoma Lanu. So the Shmuel says we can suspect that maybe the goy slept outside of the wall of the city. Meaning, even though let's say you know that the flute came from far away, but you're allowed to assume leniently that maybe right before Shabbat came, the goy was within the tomb of the city. And therefore, since right before Shabbat he was within the borders of the city, it's okay. So Shmuel says, even though you don't know for sure, on the contrary, you know that it came from far away, but you can assume leniently that by the time Shabbat came, the goy was within the parameters of the city, and it was permissible. So that she just says that even though normally the word Haishinan is a word that's used to be strict, when the Gemara usually says we suspect, we're Choshesh, it's usually when we're trying to be, say, astringency. That she says here that Haishinan is being used as a leniency. And he brings a proof that you see the word Haishinan and other Gemariot is also used sometimes in a lenient manner. So let's read that sheet together over here. Shmuel Amar Haishinan Shem Mechutz Lechoma Lanu. Lanu means they slept, meaning the goy slept outside the city. Afilu Hevi Mechutz La'ir. Even if you know they brought the flute from outside the city. Anu Tolin, we could assume lehatir to say it's mutar. Why? Ve'omrim sheme betoch hatchum lanu. Maybe they slept within the tchum of Shabbat erev Shabbat. You know, right when Shabbat came in. Ve'sofdim ba'em motzeis Shabbat miyad. And if we're able to use the flute, motzeis Shabbat miyad. So we have a very important machloket in Rav and Shmuel. Do you have to know? Meaning, has to be cut off mamash, or do I just well know? You could suspect lekula. Comes the Gemara and says, "Daika matnitin kevate deShmuel." The Mishnah is precise according to Shmuel's opinion. Which means we're going to bring a proof from the Mishnah that you're able to be tole lehakir. What's the proof? Diktani asa lo aron vehafar lo kever yikaber bo Yisrael. Said in the Mishnah, if he made for himself a kever or an aron, so a Jew can be buried. Alma misifeka shari. Which means in the Mishnah, it didn't say that the goy made the grave for himself. All the Mishnah said is asa lo. Now what does lo mean? Lo can mean either he made it for himself, or as she says in the Mishnah, he made it to sell to a Jew. That's also considered law, meaning he did it for his benefit. The point is, the Mishnah tells us a case where a goy made on Shabbat a grave, dug it, and made a coffin. And also says, asa lo. Could be he did it for himself. Could be he did it for the Jew. And I'm explaining to you, what does the word lo mean? Lo means he did it for the Jew to sell it, that's lo, meaning to get the money. So we don't know what he did it for. And what does the Mishnah say? You could bury a Jew in it. What does that tell us? That we take the lenient side. That you could assume that he did it for the goy, and therefore it is permissible. So just like at the end of the Mishnah, where you have a sefik and you don't know, we say you could assume that kill, so too in the beginning of the Mishnah. When the Mishnah says that they brought the flute from a place of karov, even though you don't know if he was actually karov, right before Shabbat, you could assume that he was. So from the end of the Mishnah, we could assume, just like Safek, we're lenient, so to the beginning of the Mishnah, Safek, when Hachanameh, Misafek Hashar, comes again what it says, V'tanya kevateh dirav. Now we actually have a braita to support the opinion of Rav. What was Rav's opinion again? We don't be lenient unless you actually know. It has to be karov mamash. What's the proof? Eir shi Yisrael v'nochrim darim ba. You have a city where Jews and goyim live in the city. Vayta b'mirhas hamiraheset b'shabbat. And they have a bathhouse in that city that's working on Shabbat. What does it mean, bathhouse? They're heating up water. Im rov nochrim. If the majority of the city are Gentiles, la'erev rochetz b'miyad. So then the Jew is able to use the bathhouse immediately, Moshe Shabbat. Why? Because since it's Rov Goyim, so the assumption is that they heated up the water, not for the Jew, they heated up for the majority. So the Jew could benefit from it immediately on Moshe Shabbat. Im Rov Yisrael, the majority of the inhabitants of the city are Jewish, yemtin ad kedesh yehamu hamin. Then he has to wait on Moshe Shabbat, the amount of time that it would take to heat up the water, so he doesn't benefit from a melacha that was done for the Jew on Shabbat. Mehsal mehsa. Oh, you have a case of 50-50. So this would be a case of safik. You don't know if they did it for the Jew. You don't know if they did it for the goy. It's a 50-50 case. And what's the deen? Skip the parentheses. Ad kedeh shi'ehamu hamin. Which means you have to wait until they heat up the waters. So what do you see from here? This would be a proof for Rav. But in a case where you are misupak, so you have to go lachmir. Now the Braita just finishes and says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, be'ambati ketana means in a small bath. Let's say the bathhouse had a small tub. Im yesh bareshut, if let's say on Motzei Shabbat you see that there's an important man, reshut means there's somebody prestigious that's in that small tub, rochetz b'miyad. Then the Jew already can bathe in that small tub immediately. Why? What's the rationale? What's the logic? So we're going to ask the first one. My reshut, Amar of Yehuda, Amar of Yitzhak b'ned of Yehuda, im yesh ba'adam hashuv, if you see that there's an important man in there, sheyesh lo asara avadim, that he has 10 servants, shemehamemin lo yud kumkumin bebat ahat, that his servants heat up for him 10 jugs of water, and they pour it in the small bath, ba'ambati ketana, in a small bath, mutal irchotz ba miyad. So that's permissible for him to bathe immediately, because why? You assume that they just heated it now, and therefore this water was heated for the goy that's in the bathhouse, and therefore there'd be no problem to use it immediately, because it was done for the goy. Now, the proof of this braita, according to at least one version in Rashi, is it's a proof to Rav. Let's review what the proof is from Tanakama. Tanakama said 50-50, half goyim, half Jews, you have to wait. So what's the assumption? Safek, we go lachmir. Just like Rav said, if you don't know for sure where the flute comes from, you have to be machmir. Only karov mamash, you have to know exactly. Good. The Gaon Mevilna And for that matter, the second version of Rashi, and this is his preferred version, he has a different text in Al-Gemara, and his text is Tanya Kivatid de Shmuel. He learns that the Braita is actually coming as a proof, not for Rav. It's coming for a proof for the opinion of Shmuel. Question is how? How does this Braita prove Shmuel? So let's read Rashi together. Rashi Dibura Matil. It's in, of course, it's Dibura Matil Rochetz. Lishna Acharina. It's three lines down in that Rashi. Garcina and Tanya Kivatid de Shmuel. Below Garcina and Daikana, Man 19, Agnesa Veka Shari, Umaiti Siatazum de Rabbi Yehuda. The proof of Shmuel is not from Tanakama. The proof of Shmuel is from Rabbi Yehuda. How? De Talinan Lekula. Which means, according to Rabbi Yehuda, when you see Adam Hashuv in there, what do we say? We assume that if Adam Chashuv is there, probably they heated up the water special for him that's in the small mikveh, and therefore you can use it immediately. Now, you don't know that for sure. You didn't see that. It's an assumption. You walk into the mikveh, Adam Chashuv in there, so by the way, what did Rabbi Yehuda say? And you can assume that they heated it up just for him now, for the goy, and you have no problem. So what do you see called Rabbi Yehuda? Yitole lekula. Proof positive for Shmuel. Aye, what about Tanakama? Hey, well, you bring me a proof of Rabbi Yehuda? What about Tanakama? Tanakama argued on Rabbi Yehuda. 50-50. You don't go on the Kula. So that she answers that. Veresha lo kashale. Kevan de mersal mersa vadai bishri Yisrael v'nochri muhamu. Which means, when it's 50-50, it's not a safek. When it's 50-50 for sure, who do they heat the water up? For the 50% goyim and the 50% Jews. That therefore, that's not a case of safek. That's a case of vadai. And therefore, the 50-50 is asur. You can't bring a proof from there to tell me, in a safek, you go lachmir. It's not a safek. And therefore, we want to know in a case, like Rashi says, if he did it for one guy, then you could say, did they do it for the Jew? Did they do it for Israel? Like the case of the making the coffin and digging the grave. He did it for one guy, so we don't know. Did he do it for himself? Did he do it to sell to a Jew? There you have a suffix. But this case over here was 50-50. For sure he did it for the Jew and the goy. So therefore from Tanakama you have no proof on the case of the suffix. So what's your proof? Your proof is for Shmuel from Rabbi Yehuda. So that's a very important way to, two ways of learning the Gemara. Tanya Kivate Derav or Tanya Kivate Shmuel. Comes the Gemara and continues. Asulo Aron the Hafrulo Kevin. So the Gemara says, if they made for him a Aron and they dug for him a Kevin, so it says, Amai Hachaname Yemtin Bichdeshi Asu, which means like this. Why are you telling me if they made for him if he made for him a kever, so you're telling me it's permissible to use? Why? Which is according to Rav that says if you don't know for sure, you have to be machmir. So how did the end of the Mishnah say that if the goy made a kever and you don't know if he did it for himself or he did it for a Yisrael, so the Mishnah said, what? It can be lenient. The Jew can use it. Why? According to Rav, you should be machmir. Because you don't know. Didn't Rav say in the first case, by the flute, you have to know it came kind of mamash? So why when it came to the case of the guy who made the grave, you don't know he did it for? It can be mekev. The Jew can use it. So the Gemara asks, according to Rav, Amai, hachanami yemti mikdeshi asu, at least you should wait until the amount of time that it takes to dig a grave on Motzei Shabbat. So comes the Gemara and says, Amar Ula Be'omed Be'ar Asratia. The Gemara says, because we're talking about a case where the guy dug it in the public domain. And that's where normally Goyim were buried. Jews don't bury their dead on the public thoroughfare. But the Goyim do. So that we have very strong reason to believe
that it was done for the goy. As Rashi says, Be'omeh, 3 lines on the bottom, HaKever Be'islatya, She'en Derech Yisrael Lekaber Sham, De'vaday Lo Na'asah B'Shvei Yisrael. For sure it wasn't done for Yisrael. Furthermore, the Gemara then says, Tinah Kever. Alright, that answers the grave itself. Aron Ma'ika Le'memar. But he made the coffin also. Now the coffin, you don't know if he made for the Jew or made for the Goy. And we said, well, you can go lenient. So how did that answer the coffin? What, he made the coffin also in the public domain? The Gemara says yes. Gemara says, Amar Abahu b'mutal al kibro. Yeah, after he made the coffin, he placed it on the grave, which was also in the Rishut HaRabim. So there's fair assumption to say that the coffin itself was done for the Goy, because it was placed in a spot where the Goyim are normally buried. Now, incidentally, this Gemara is actually the proof of the Tosafot that we mentioned above. We mentioned the Mahloket Rashi v'Tosfot by the case of the flute. Rashi said it's Asur forever. If it was done for the Jew, it's Asur forever. Right? Whereas Tosfot said no. It's only Asur the amount of time after Shabbat that it would take the Jew to bring the flute. So Tosfot says from this Gemara you see a proof like him. Because the Gemara asks, Amai hakaname yamtin bichdeshi asu. The Gemara said, here also, by the case of the grave, we should wait the amount of time. According to Rashi, this question is a little difficult. Because we never waited for the amount of time. According to Rashi, it was asur for forever. It was asur le'olam. Whereas here, the Gemara's master, that's only bichdeshi asu. So that's the proof of the Tosafot. Obviously Rashi will have to make a chiluk in the case of the flute where it's evident that it was done for the Jew, where it's clear that it was done for the Jew, then it's going to be Asur Le'olam. In this case over here where it's a Safek, so then Rashi will admit it'll only be Asur Bechdeshi Asur. There will be a difference in the Knas. In the case of the flute, for sure he did it for the Jew. There was only one mit in the village that died. And the goy brings a flute on Shabbat. That's clear. It was done for the Jew. Asur le'olam. Here, the goy dug a grave. It's not clear did he do it for the Jew or not. That's why the Gemara has a safek. Could be only going to be asur bichdeh shi'asu. One more point that the Mefashim point out, I think is interesting, which you don't see too often in the in that braita that we brought of the bathhouse. We have the small bath. And you say if there's Adam Hashuv, you could assume that, you know, his servants came and heated him the water specifically was done for him. So who made that statement? So it says, "My reshut." What does reshut mean? And we learned that means Adam Hashuv. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav Yitzchak bered Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda said, "In the name of Rav Yitzchak, the son of Rav Yehuda," which sounds a little strange that Rav Yehuda is quoting a halakha in the name of his son. So the Mefarshim point out that is a little strange. Usually the son quotes the father. Here the father, as if he's a student of the son, is quoting him. Unless you say that there were two Rav Yehudas. So when it says Amar Rav Yehuda, that's one Rav Yehuda. Rav Yitzchak bered Rav Yehuda, that's a different Rav Yehuda. Just something to think about. Comes the next Mishnah. Osim Kol Tzorche Hamet. On Shabbat, it is permissible to do all the needs for a dead body. Tzachin, you're allowed to anoint him with oil. He used to put oil on the body. Umadihin oto, they would wash him with water. Ubilvad shelo yaziz bo ever. So long as you do not move a limb, meaning the dead body is mukseh. And therefore, while you're allowed to rub water on it, but you cannot lift one of the limbs. From here you learn that the law of mukseh doesn't only mean to lift the entire mukseh, but even if you lift part of a mukseh, it is also asur. Furthermore, the Mishnah says, Shomtin etakar mitahtav. If let's say he's lying on a pillow or a mattress, now that generates heat. And you don't want the body to decompose, so you'd rather have the body on the ground. So you're able to pull the pillow from underneath him, or the mattress from underneath him, in order that he rests on the ground. Shomtin etakar mitahtav.
umatilin oto alahol. And further, you're allowed to lie him down on the hall, which would literally be the sin. Also, she says, well, Mishnah says, why bishvil sheyamtin? What does sheyamtin mean? Shelo yasriyah. Again, in order that he does not decompose, mepnei chom hasadin bakarim. It seems on the sand, it's a little cooler, so you pull away the pillow, so now he's resting on the sand. Koshrin et alehi. You're allowed to tie the jaw of the mit on Shabbat. What happens? Sometimes the mouth of the mit opens up. The halakha says that you're not allowed to tie it in order to close the mouth, because then already it's mukseh, you're moving the body, but you're able to tie the jaw in order that the mouth doesn't open and extend any more than it is. Meaning just to keep it in its place. So the Mishnah says, Koshrin et alehi, lo shi'aleh, not in order to, that it should rise, meaning that you should close it, ela shelo yosif, just so it doesn't continue to open. Vechen, similarly, korah shenishbera, if you have a beam in the house that broke, a beam is mukseh. Mm-hmm. It broke on Shabbat. Somchin ota besafsal. You're able to take a bench and stick it underneath the beam in order that it doesn't continue to break. Or baruchot amita. Or you could use, let's say, the bedposts. Lo shetale. Not in order to straighten it out. Ela shelotosif. Just in order that it does not continue to buckle, so you're able to put the bench over there. And now the Gemara comes along and says, "Ve'amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel." We have a story with Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Maaseh betalmido shel Rabbi Meir. There was a case of a student of Rabbi Meir. Shenichnas acharav lebet hamirchas, that he followed his rabbi into the bathhouse. Bikesh ladiach karka. So the student wanted to clean the ground for his rabbi in the bathhouse. Amar lo en madichin. So Rabbi Meir said, no, on Shabbat, we do not clean the ground of the bathhouse. Lasuch karka. So he wanted to put some oil on the ground. Amar lo en sachin karka. We don't put it on the ground. Now, let's analyze what the question is. The reason why we're assuming why it was asur is because on the ground there's rocks. Rocks are mukseh. So the Gemara is asking a question. Just like Rabbi Meir did not allow to pour water over the rocks to clean the floor or put oil because it's mukseh. So how then did our Mishnah allow you to put oil and water on the mit? It's also mukseh. For the same reason they didn't allow you to put it on the ground, because mukseh, the rocks of the ground are mukseh, so it should be asur to put the water and the oil on the mit, which is also mukseh. So the Gemara says now, karka bekarka mehalfa. The issue over here was like this. You know why it was asur to put it on the ground? The reason why it's asur is because he might see holes in the ground. And when he finds the holes in the ground, what's going to happen? He might come to fill the holes of the ground. Ashvuye gumot. And what's the deed of ashvuye gumot? It's considered boneh. So that's why the rabbi told him, "What? I don't want you to put the water on the ground." Which means, even though this ground over here was paved, still the rabbi said, "Asud in this case, because you might come to do it in another case where the ground is unpaved." So that's what the Gemara says. Karka bekarka mehalfa. You could mix up one ground to another ground. So therefore he was osed it in the paved ground because he might come to put the water in the other ground. However, met bekarka lo mehlaf. We're not going to make a mistake if I let you put water on a mit that you might come to clean a floor that's unpaved. Which is from floor to floor you can make a mistake. But from the mat to the floor, you're not going to make a mistake. Therefore, it is permissible. Comes the Gemara and says, "Kol le'atuyemai." The Mishnah said, "Osin kol tzorchei hamit." You're able to do all the needs of the mit. So now the Gemara asks, what is the call coming to include? Whenever you have the word call, it's coming to add something. What is it coming to add? La'atuyeh ha'detanu rabbanan. We learned in the Braita, Mivi'in kli mekar ukli matechot umanihin al kereso kede shelo yehe tafuah. We're able to bring kli mekar. Kli mekar are vessels that are cool. Or you're allowed to bring metal vessels. Now what do they do with these items? They place them on the stomach of the mit. Why? Because after the mit dies, his stomach starts to swell, starts to get bloated. So how do they keep the stomach from bloating? They take these kelim, which are cold, and they place it on his stomach, and it keeps the bloating down. So when it says, Osim kol tzorche hamit, but the hadush is you can take these normally, let's say, mukseh items, and go, let's say, put them on the mit itself. Comes the... Well, actually, that she says, kli mekar, shemivin kiriru tigon zichuchit. Actually, it is like a glass items, or metal items that are cold. I guess you don't have to say then that they're actually mukseh. Once you say that they're kelim, the point is you're allowed to toil for the met on Shabbat by bringing these non-mukseh kelim to put them on his stomach in order to stop the swelling. Upokekin et nekabav. Furthermore, you're allowed to plug up the holes of the body of the met. Because you don't want the wind or the air to go in. Because if the air goes into his holes, so you're also going to blow it up. So that's permissible on Shabbat as well. Ve'av Shlomo amar b'chokhmato. Regarding this situation, King Solomon talked about it in his wisdom. What does the pasuk say? So there's a pasuk in Kohelet. Ad asher lo yiratek hevel hakesef. He's talking about now that a person should make teshuvah before he dies. So Shlomo, in very flowery language, discusses the downfall of men. So he's trying to say, until your body falls apart, make teshuvah. So how does he say it? So he starts off, Ad shelo yiratek hevel hakesef, until the hevel hakesef, which literally means the silver rope, is broken. We don't wait until the silver rope breaks. What is that referring to? Ze chut ha-shidra. That's referring to the spinal cord, which is similar to a rope, and it's white like silver. Vetarutz gulat ha-zahab, and the gulat ha-zahab is going to break. Don't wait for that. What is the gulat ha-zahab? The golden spring. Ze ama. That's referring to the person's private part. Why? Because it's like a spring, because it produces. So he's saying, don't wait till that falls apart. That she says, ze ama shum ma'yan. It's like a spring shel tolada of production, because it produces. V'teshaber kad ala mabua. And don't wait until the kad, which would mean the jug, bursts. Ala mabua. What is ala mabua? On the fountain. Okay. So what is that referring to? Ze hakeres. See, that's referring to the stomach that, after death, explodes. See, don't wait until the jug, which is referring to the stomach that holds the food, don't wait until it busts open. Venarutz hagalgal el habor. And don't wait for the galgal, which would be over here the wheel that smashes into the pit. Ze perish. That's referring to the excrement, which means the bor is referring to the mouth, which is what happens is after a person dies, the excrement that's in his stomach comes up into his mouth. So Shlomo HaMelech was saying, don't wait until that until that time. So galgal elabor, the wheel into the pit. Ze perish. Vechenu omer, like the pasuk says, vezereti perish al penechem. The prophet says, and I will sprinkle excrement on your faces, perish hagechem, because your holidays were like excrement. It seems the Jewish people were not following the holidays. So Borei Olam says that I'm going to put perish on your faces. In other words, we see the word perish means excrement. So the Gemara says, Amar Avunav Amila Amar Avu Haga Elu Bnei Adam. You know what this pasuk was referring to? People Shemanihim Devre Torah. They leave and abandon the study of Torah. They osim kol yemehem kehagim. And they make all their days like holidays. Which means they're always on vacation. So the pasuk is saying like this. Perish. Perish can come from the word lefrosh. Lefrosh means to leave. Perish is to go away from. They're going away from what? Torah. And what are they doing? Hagichem. If the pasuk doesn't say Hag Shel Hashem, it's not God's holidays anymore. It's their own personal holidays. So the Torah is telling you over here, that's why Hashem gets angry when people abandon Torah to go after their worldly pleasure. Amar Rabbi Levi Amar Rav Pepe Amar Yoshua. Lachar Shlosha Yamim, after 3 days, after a person dies, Kereso Nibkaat, his stomach cracks open, v'nofelet lo al panav, and all the insides that's in his stomach explode onto his face. V'omeret lo tol ma shenatata bi. The stomach, so to speak, tells the mouth, take everything back that you put into me. Which means all the food that a person ate, all the extras and all the indulgence, the stomach comes back after 3 days and spits it out to the face and says, take back all the food that you ingested. Comes the Mishnah and says, En ma'atzemin etamet b'shabbat. It is forbidden to close the eyes of the met on Shabbat. After the guy dies, his eyes are open. It's forbidden to close them. Why? Because we learned earlier, the met is considered mukseh. So you cannot even move part of the met. Velo behol im yitziat nefesh. Nor can you close his eyes during the week at the time that he is about to die. Because the Gemara is going to teach us that if somebody moves the eyes of somebody at about the time of death, that brings upon his death closer. So you're speeding his death. So at the time of death, you're not allowed to touch the body. And the Mishnah says, v'ma'asim im yitziat nefesh. If somebody closes the eyes of a person that's about to die, that fellow is considered a murderer. He's spilling blood because he's speeding the death of the person. Comes the Gemara and says, if a person closes the eyes of the person that's about to die, it's as if he's committing murder. Mashal. So the Gemara gives him mashal. Lener shekaba veholeket. You have a candle, a flame, that is dwindling. It's on the way out. Adam maniach etzba'o aleha. So a person puts his finger on top of it. What happens? Miyad kafta. Immediately is going to extinguish. The same thing here. The light of the person's soul is about to extinguish by putting his fingers on his eyes. So that already causes the neshama to go out that much quicker. Tanya, we have a brayta. Rabban Shimon Gamliel Omer. Harotzeh shiyitatzemu einav shel mit. Rabban Shimon Gamliel now gives us a method if the eyes of the mit are open. After he died, but his eyes stay open. So the person wants to get his eyes closed. Sometimes just closing them, they stay open. So what does he do in order to get the eyes of the mit to close? This is not talking about on Shabbat, even during the week. Nofeyach lo yayin bechotamo. First, you blow some wine into his nostrils. Vinoten shemen ben riseinav. You put some oil by his eyelashes. Ve'ohez b'shne godler raglav, and you hold on to the big toes of both of his feet, and then ve'mitasemim me'elein, and then the eyes close automatically. Exactly. Tanya, Rashbag Omer, Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel said, Tinok ben Yomo Hai, you have a baby, 1 day old, alive. Mehalelin et haShabbat, so you desecrate the Shabbat for even a 1 day old infant. David Melech Yisrael met, but even if you have King David, the King of Israel, dead, and mehalelin lav et haShabbat, finished. There's no Chilul Shabbat for the met. The Gemara is trying to show the value of life. You have an infant that's alive, to save his life, you mechalel Shabbat. Melech David dead, you cannot mechalel Shabbat for a met. So the Gemara explains, Tinok ben yom ha'chaim with the Shabbat. What's the logic why we're allowed to mechalel Shabbat even for a one-day-old baby? Amra Torah. Torah says, Halel alav Shabbat echad. Torah says, better to desecrate one Shabbat, kedeshi yishmor Shabbatot harbeh, in order to give him the opportunity to fulfill many Shabbatot. If he has life, he'll be able to fulfill many Shabbatot. And Halakha does not follow this. Because according to this, if let's say the doctors clearly say that he's not going to make it to the next Shabbat. Now we can only, if we're going to make Halel Shabbat now, he'll only live till Monday. According to this Gemara, you know, Mehalel, the whole logic is what? In order he can keep many more Shabbatot. So we hold that, no, even if he'll get an extra few minutes of life by Hilul Shabbat, so we keep the child alive. David, however, even King David, that dies, you do not mechalel the Shabbat. Why? Because after a person is dead, batel min mitzvot. Finish. He cannot fulfill any more mitzvot. So what are you being mechalel? For what? There's no more mitzvot over here. Dehainu deamar Rabbi Yohanan b'metim chofshi. It says the dead are free. What does it mean? The dead are free. Kevan shemet adam. Once a man dies, naaseh chofshi min mitzvot. He becomes free from performing the mitzvot. Betanya, we have a braita. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Tinok ben Yomo Chai. If you have a baby, even one day old, alive, En Sarich leShomro min haHulda umin haAgbarim. You don't have to protect them from the weasels and from the mice, because they're scared of a live person. Aval Og Melech haBashan Met. But even take Og, the giant king of Bashan, dead. He needs protection from the mice and the weasels. So the Gemara says, how do we know? That's an Emar. Umura'achem v'hittechem yihyeh. The Torah clearly tells us that God instilled a fear from the animals onto human beings. So the Pasuk, according to Rashi, says like this, Umura'achem. And your fear, the hitechem, comes from the word the hiyutchem, meaning from your life, from your living ones. Meaning the animals are scared of living beings, but they're not scared of dead. And that's a berakah that God said in the Torah. The animals are going to fear live people. Yeah. So long as a person is alive, emato mutelet al abiriyot. So his fear is upon the creation. Kevan shemet, batla emato. Once he dies, that fear is gone. Amar papa, so the papa taught nekitinan. We have a tradition. Ariyeh, a lion, abetre lo nafil. A lion will not trounce on two people. Which means even one person, according to what we just said in the Gemara, the lion will be scared of. But the way that Ben Ishai explains, from far, the lion cannot tell that it's a, let's say, a human being to be scared of. So he'll chase him. Then when he gets close, he'll recognize. But when it comes to two, even from far away, the lion does not chase after, because he's able to recognize the life force of these two people. So again, Aryeh, Abetre, a lion, by two people, Lonafir, does not fall upon them. Gemara says, what are you talking about? Haka hazinan dinafil. We see otherwise. We see that lions do attack even two people. Gemara says, ahu kidrami bar abba. That's following like rami bar abba. The amar rami bar abba en haya sholetet ba'adam ad shnidmelo kabehema. That an animal does not attack a person unless the person appears to the animal like an animal. Which means if the person himself lives like an animal, So then already his appearance to the animal is not like a human being anymore. So therefore it's an animal to an animal. Therefore the animal attacks. And with the great Tzaddikim, when they would walk in the street, you see the animals like Daniel, when he was thrown into the lion's den, we learned that what? That the lions just sat around him. They didn't touch him. Why? Because Daniel had was a malach. He had elevated himself to a high level. However, when human beings do not elevate themselves, then the animals do not have fear of them, because the animal says they're just like us. As a matter of fact, they're worse, because an animal doesn't have the potential to be a human being, but a human being does, and therefore the animals can attack. And the Gemara quotes a pasuk shene'emar, Adam bikar balyalin nimshal kabehemot nidmu. Now she learns that the Rasha is from the end of the pasuk. Nimshal, meaning if a person sees that he's being ruled, nimshal, he's being dominated by the animals, you know why? Kabehemot nidmu. Because you appear like an animal to them. Amar Rabbi Hanina, Asur Lishan Bebayit Yechidi. Now the Torah tells us a person should not sleep in a house alone. V'chol Hayashem Bebayit Yechidi. Anyone that sleeps in a house alone, Achazto Lilit. So he becomes subject to the demon that is called the Lilit. She is the mother of all demons. Different explanations were said. One reason is because you're not allowed to put yourself in a situation of anxiety and fear. And when a person sleeps in a house alone, he's scared. And therefore, he's putting himself in a situation of pahad. And now, especially, we're learning that the demons can also come along and get him. But the Mefashim explained that there's only talking about where it's dark. However, if there's a light on, or you have moonlight coming in from a different source, so then you don't have to worry about sleeping alone. Betanya, we have a beraita. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer. Now, the Gemara is going to teach us some lessons about giving charity before one dies. So the Gemara says like this, Aseh, meaning, do charity ad she'ata motzeh. Which means, so long as you have the ability to find somebody to give to. That means, give when you're alive. Aseh ad she'ata motzeh. So long as you can still find, umatsui lecha. And that the money is found by you. It means, so long as you still have money. Ve'odecha biyadecha. Which means, and it's still in your ability to give before you die. So again, I say, give charity. So long as you can find the poor guy, and you still have money, and you're still alive. King Solomon said in his wisdom, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Ad asher lo yavo yemei hara'a. Until the bad days are going to come. What are these bad days? Elu yemei hazikna. This is referring to old age, where a person does not have the ability to do the mitzvot like he did when he was young. Vehigiyu sharim, and the years are going to come, King Solomon continues, asher tomada, you're going to say, enli bahem hefetz. Where literally a person is going to say, I have no more will. Now literally he's talking about when you get old. A person has no more will to live. But the Gemara says, no, you know what that means? En b'im hefetz, elu yemot ha-Mashiach. That's referring to the times of Mashiach, where there's not going to be any more ability to do the mitzvot. Once the Mashiach comes, finish, the guy can have all the money in the world, but he's not going to be able to do anything with it. So therefore, do not squander the opportunity to do the mitzvot until you're going to reach the days that said, en b'im hefetz, where there's not going to be any need. Why is there not going to be any need? Because there's not going to be any poor people. Why? Because when the Mashiach comes, there's not going to be any ability to do zichuyot, meaning to give charity, because as she says, everybody's going to be rich in the time of Mashiach. Nor it's going to, you're not going to be able to make any sins, because the stinginess is not going to exist either. So Gemara is trying to say, do it now, before the time is up. Ufliga d'Shmuel. This principle that life in Mashiach's time is going to change is actually in argument with what Shmuel said. The Amar Shmuel, "En ben ha'olam hazeh limot ha'Mashiach, ela shibud malchuyot bilvad." Shmuel said the only difference between life in this world and life in the Messianic world is going to be that is in the Messianic world, the Jews are going to be on top and the Goyim are going to be subjugated under us. But besides that, life is going to run normally. Shne'emar, ki lo yehdal evyon mekerev ha'aretz. He quotes the pasuk, he says, poverty will never leave the land. Never leave. Even after Mashiach comes, there still will be poverty. There will be the ability to do the tzvot. Tanya Rabbi Nazar Kefar Omer, Le'olam yibekesh adam rachamim al midazu. A person should always beseech God that he should not become poor. Because the Gemara is going to say, eventually poverty hits every family at some time. It's just a matter of time. So a person has to pray that the poverty does not hit him. So it says, "Shi'imu lo ba," because if poverty doesn't hit him, ba beno, it's going to come to his son. Ve'im beno lo, and if it doesn't come to his son, ba ben beno. Ba, which means it's going to come to his ben benoba, it's going to come to his grandson. Shnei emad ki biglal hadavar hazeh, which means if the pasuk talks about poverty, it talks about tzedakah. It says ki biglal hadavar hazeh, because of this thing that you give charity, God will bless you. But the Gemara makes it the Rashan, the word biglal. So the Gemara says what? Tana deber bishmael galgal hu shechozer ba'olam. Wealth is like a galgal, a wheel. It's cyclical, meaning the wheel of wealth constantly is turning. And therefore, since it's constantly turning, it's only a matter of time where the wealth in one family goes down and Chas v'Shalom on the youth comes. So a person always has to pray that that wheel of misfortune does not turn on him. Amar of Yosef, Nikitinan, we have a tradition. Hayt surba mirabbanan, a tamir hakam, a young scholar, lo me'ani, he does not become impoverished. Hakamim are not poor. Gemara, what are you talking about? What are you talking? We see that hakamim are poor. So Gemara says, no. Im ita de me'aneh, because if he becomes impoverished, ahadure afetcha lo mehedar. What we meant to say is he doesn't go collecting on the doors. Which means like this, two explanations. Either because, even when the Tamir Hakam becomes impoverished, he's sameach b'halko. He's happy with what his lot is. And therefore, if this is what Borei Olam chose for me, he doesn't go out and put his hand out to collect. Or he says the Tamir Hakam doesn't have to worry, because usually he has a lot of supporters, and therefore they won't let the Tamir Hakam get to a state that he has to go out and put his hand out and collect. So the Masha says, they'll take care of him before it gets to that state. Amar le Rabbi Chaya lidibitu. Rabbi Chaya told his wife, ki ate anya, when a poor man comes to the door, akdimu le rifta, make sure you give him bread. You run to the door and give him something, give him bread. Ki echi dilikdimu lebarecha. So when your children become poor, they'll give them bread. Amra le, so she says to her husband, Melat ka laitatu, what are you cursing your children? So the Gemara says, Amar la, kraka ketiv. I'm just quoting a pasuk. Ki biglal adavar hazeh, vetana devir v'Ishmael galgalu shechozer ba'olam. That's the cycle of wealth. Tanya Rabban Gemara v'Yomer. Pasuk says, venata necha rachamim, the pasuk says God will give you a measure of mercy and then he will have mercy on you. So the Gemara is making a derasha. What does it mean? God will give you compassion, meaning you'll be compassionate, and after God will give you a measure of compassion and you'll be compassionate, in return God will have compassion on you and he will make you a plenty. Anybody that has compassion on people, merachamim alav merashamayim. So God acts in a mirror way, and therefore He'll have compassion on him. V'chol she'enu merachayim ala b'riyot. Anybody that does not have compassion on people, en merachamim alav merashamayim. They do not have mercy on him from Shamayim. Now, the pasuk continues in Kohelet. And the pasuk says, "Ad asher lo techshach haShemesh veHaor veYareach veKochavim veShavu haAbim achar haGeshem." This is also talking about the time of death. So, what does it mean over here? "Ad asher lo techshach," until the time that one is going to become, the sun is going to become dark. Techshach haShemesh, the sun will become darkened, veHaor, and the light. This is referring to the forehead of a person and his nose. The forehead of a person when he's alive shines like the sun. And for that matter, the nose also. And therefore, the Patsuk is saying, until the person dies, where the sun darkens, meaning his forehead now loses its luster, as well as the chotim, the nose. And the moon, zu neshama. That's referring to the soul that's compared to the moon. That she says, like it says in the Pasuk, Ner Elohim Nishmat Adam. Just like the moon has its light, so too the Neshama also has a light. Va'kochavim, and the stars are going to set. Elu halistot. That's referring to the cheeks. The cheek of a person also, the Mephashim explained, shine. Especially when a person has a beard. So the cheeks of the person when he's alive, they shine. When the person dies, it loses its luster again. Then it says, "Veshavu ha'avim achar geshem." Says then the clouds are going to set in after the rain. What do we learn from this over here? That the clouds are going to set in after the rain. Zu me'or einav shel adam. That's referring to a person's vision. Sheholech achar bechi, which means crying causes a person to go blind, the tears. And therefore, the person gets old, he cries a lot. And therefore what happens? It says, the ma'ot, like the rain. The rain comes, and then the cloud comes after. The cloud is referring to the blindness. Amar Shmuel, Shmuel taught, Hay dema'ata, a person's tears, ad arbi'in shenin hadra. Until he's 40 years old, the tears always replenish themselves. Person cries, the tears replenish. But after 40 years, the tears do not replenish themselves. The Amar of Nachman. The Nachman taught, Hay kuchla. Kuchla, as we learned earlier in the Masechet, was a certain eye ointment that was very beneficial to the eyes. Adar be'in shenin marvah. Until a person's 40 years old, what? The kuchla can improve a person's vision. But after 40 years old, afilu malya ka ibsanag de girdae. Even if he takes a stick that's as big as the stick of the weavers, which is obviously a big stick, right? And he fills it up with kuchla, and he puts it on his eye. Ukme mukim, it'll only maintain his vision. Arvuche lo marvach, but it's not going to enhance his vision. So it seems the Hachamim were well aware of a person's vision changing at the age of 40. But you see today, a lot of times once a person reaches 40 already, his vision changes where he needs to wear reading glasses and things like that. Already Shmuel, thousands of years before, was telling you that something happens at 40 for the vision of a person. Amazing. Ma'i kamash ma'alan. Now, what was he teaching us when he told us that after 40, even if you take a stick as size as the weaver's stick and you fill it with this ointment, it's not going to be beneficial? It says, "Dekama da'alim mikuhla tefeh ma'ale." The more kuhla you use, the better. Which means before the age of 40, take a large measure. I mean, you don't use a small stick to put on the kuhla. Use a big measure of it in order to give a person a healing. Rav Hanina shachiva le birte. Rav Hanina lost a daughter, Bar Minnan. His daughter died. Lo havaka b'chi'ala. But he refrained from crying. Amra le debitu. So his wife told him, Tarnigulta afikat le bitech. What, did you lose a chicken from your house? Which means you lost your daughter. So when you lose a chicken, husband showed me this situation of why aren't you crying? Amarla. So he says to her, Tarte, what, you want me to suffer two things? Tikhla ve'ivra. Which means you want me to suffer not only shikul bani, meaning becoming barren from children, but you also want me to suffer chas v'shalom from ivra. You want me to suffer from blindness. So therefore, we see over here that tears and crying can cause a person to go chas v'shalom. Baruch Adonai le'olam. Amen. Amen.